are carefully required to go to confession once a year, or once a year if they are in the state of mortal sin. They are required to go to confession once a year, whether they are in mortal sin or not. That's the church's law. So many, so learned Catholic writers, to the contrary, notwithstanding. Once a year. Will you explain the five norms that exist in your definition of Marxism? I don't have a copy of the dictionary. I consult what I write to find out what's on my mind. Anybody have a copy of the dictionary? Thanks. Good for my humility. So we have to forego this question. And Christ consecrated the bread and wine into his body and blood at the Last Supper. Are we to understand that is or was the same as it is after his resurrection? Thanks for the question. At the Last Supper, when Christ said, "This is my body, this is my blood," he was, of course, the mortal Christ who could die and did die. When he rose from the dead, he was the glorified Christ. Whom do we receive in Holy Communion? The glorified Christ. Thanks. In other words, Holy Eucharist is the risen Christ. And that's why, in the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, where Jesus foretold they would institute the Blessed Sacrament, they were to eat his flesh and drink his blood to have life in us. And then he said, "And I will raise that person up on the last day." Holy Communion is the guarantee of a bodily resurrection from the dead. Now, all human beings who have died arise from the dead. But needless to say, not all in a glorified body. So it's just good business. I want to make sure they derive the glorified body. This is just ABC. This is Catholic business. That you receive Holy Communion as often as you can. Make sure that this very mortal body of mine arise glorified on the last day. Is your baptism valid if the minister believes it is only a symbol and does not really remove original sin? I have to say the baptism is doubtful. And that is why over the years, both in teaching priests and in instructing converts to the Catholic Church, if I've been instructing the converts, even otherwise, I ask them, "Who baptized you?" They may remember or find out the name. What did he say, minister? What words did he use? How was the baptism performed? And this is my advice to priests over the years, to make sure. Now, there are exceptions But my advice to priests is to make sure the baptism of those whom they receive into the church, that their previous Protestant baptism had been valid. I have conditionally baptized converts to the Catholic Church. They have been ministers. Now we can't presume, and this is the basic law of the church, that provided the one who baptizes wants to do what that person thinks, though the language thinks, that Christ intended when he instituted the sacrament of baptism. The church's teaching is we can trust that baptism is valid. But I have to repeat what I said before. To be absolutely sure, to find out an Episcopalian that I received of the church wasn't sure about that person's baptism being valid in the first place. The minister who baptized this no adult lived in Tokyo. Can you imagine? I had him get in touch with Tokyo. Father Hardin, as you realize, sometimes knows too much. In any case, that's the answer to the question. What is the Catholic meaning of the words from Scripture that we must be born again? Have you gotten any more information on the Promise Keepers men's group? So there are two questions. Well, born again, as you know, this is in the Gospel of St. John, 3rd chapter. And again, the poor dear Protestants, because at the heart of Protestantism, there is no supernatural life. This is bedrock Protestantism. Now, thank God, many Protestants have been more or less Catholicized. Not before Catholics, professed Catholics, but they've been, well, Catholicized, which is wonderful. But Protestantism, by qual Protestantism, does not believe in a supernatural life. It's ABC. As I told my Protestant students, ABC of Protestantism, there is no supernatural life. And consequently, born again has about as many meanings as our Protestant denominations among Protestants. You're converted. You come to recognize Christ as your Redeemer. All kinds of nice things, but not the real meaning. The real meaning of born again is hear it. We are to be both conceived and born first in body, right? And we are born, and by the way, we don't have to wait to be born, for our body has a soul, right? We have a soul the moment we are conceived. Well then, the born again refers to now being either conceived or born, no, not in body. That again refers to what kind of birth? The birth of our souls. Into what? Into the supernatural life. Am I making sense? And baptism, therefore, does. Baptism, therefore, confers on the soul what our conception in a mother's womb gave our bodies. Our parents provided the body. God created an immortal soul. At the moment that our bodies, as we casually and mistakenly say, are. We are not conceived until God creates a soul out of nothing and infuses that soul, pours that soul into the body provided by our mother and father. So baptism, therefore, corresponds to what happens at our conception. In other words, just as the human body needs a principle of life, PLE, a principle of life called the soul. So the soul needs a principle of life to become what? Alive with the life of God. And God can begin to dwell in that soul. And that means that we must then be, shall I say, reborn or born again in soul. Sanctifying grace, we said, is the soul of the soul. In any further information on Promise Keepers, men's group, sorry, not yet. I'd appreciate somebody providing me with information by the 26th, say, of October. Should a person in a state of mortal sin pray until he has a chance? He has a chance to go to confession. A person who does not have sanctifying grace does not receive any graces from praying. Am I correct? No. No. People not in the state of sanctifying grace, get them to pray. If necessary, pardon me for saying this, hold a gun to their heads. Look, you sinner, start praying. In fact, if those in mortal sin stop praying, what is going to happen? They will die in their condition. That's why, after praying for people, the most important thing you can do for anybody is to get that person to pray. Start praying. Please update us on the formation of the Prodigal Children group that you started at retreat in August. How is it progressing? It is progressing. There are two major, call them, problems. First is a sheer number. The number of such prodigal children in our country, I believe, is in the millions. Secondly, the question has arisen as to whether if we just, the parents, were to pray for these prodigal children, or say their brothers or sisters, or their near relatives. And the decision has been to include others than just the parents. But the need for praying for these prodigals is immense. And the first thing these prodigal children need, they may not be children anymore in age, is to learn their faith. And by the way, pray for prodigal priests. How will I know? Is the name Satan another name for the one who would not serve, namely Lucifer? Yes. Apart from Lucifer, are the rest of the fallen angels called devils? Yes. Demons? Yes. Are they always under his orders? Yes. In other words, the devils are highly organized. Highly organized. And they have their head. They have, if I could use the term, I want to call it a hierarchy. But they have where there are divisions, there are levels of authority. Some in higher authority, some in lower authority. Our grandchildren are not being raised in the Catholic faith. Our Assembly of God does not baptize babies. Can we baptize our grandchildren? Well, you can, until a person reaches the age of reason. If you intend to baptize, that child is baptized validly. But the church's norms are that a child should not be baptized unless there is danger of death. Then you baptize, even though you might be shot. Do you hear me? For performing the baptism. Baptize. Or if there's danger of death, baptize. That's imperative mood. However, when there's no danger of death, the church's teaching is there should be, hear it, reasonable hope that the baptized child will receive some basic training or raising in the Catholic faith. Am I clear? Because once a person is baptized, whether we realize it or not, they have been given responsibilities that non-baptized people do not have. If I wear the Marquis's medal, do I need to wear a scapular too? Depends on what you mean by the word need. Strictly speaking, no. In other words, any medal of Our Lady will supply for wearing a scapular, including the miraculous medal. However, you're strongly encouraged to wear a scapular, not because, what's the language, not because in itself, wearing a scapular medal gives more grace, but because the person who wears the scapular, every time, well, you put the scapular on. Or someone will tell you, pardon me, your scapular is showing. In other words, subjectively, am I clear? Subjectively, wearing a scapular keeps reminding the person who wears a scapular that he or she is specially dedicated to Our Lady. What is centering prayer? I've heard it referred to many times, but I need a definition. Well, this is good to hear. You can divine the truth in a single declarative sentence. Error has as many definitions as there are people who embrace the error. Prayer. A good standard definition of prayer is conversation with the invisible world of God, the angels and the saints, period. That's prayer. Well, centering prayer. There were so many Catholics have been deceived. First of all, at root, centering prayer is a prayer addressed to the inner source of my being. Use that definition. You better say more. What is He is the center. In fact, the moment you use even the word source of being, you're already speaking as a Christian. In authentic, thousands of years old, in teaching Hinduism, I place Hinduism in its origins about 2000 BC. In Hinduism, there is no God who created the world out of nothing. The same word may be used, Brahman, for example. But in Hinduism, the center of our being is Kyas. It is Atman. Atman means self. I'm at the center of my being. You mean I'm at the center of my being? I'll just repeat. But this being whom I call myself, did I have a beginning? Was, shall I use the word, a time when I did not exist? No Hindu who understands his Hinduism and believes it would say that any of us, did not exist. In other words, the very meaning of creation is turned upside down. I've just come from Dallas, having given the retreat of the Carmelite Sisters Monastery. A couple of years ago, I think I shared this with you, I was asked to give a talk to the catechist, one of the, Catholic catechetical centers in Dallas. And about 30 catechists came for the meeting. I talked to them, then I asked some questions. They asked questions of me. I asked, do you happen to have anybody here have a copy of one of the textbooks you're using and teaching religion to the children? Have you got a copy of a book? The title of that book was God, All on God, for that year in catechetics. So I opened the book and looked to the section on creation. I read and I read and I read. And the only meaning of creation in that book was God making something new. Not one syllable about creation. God making something which did not exist and putting that into existence. That is Simon Pure, unadulterated Hinduism with a bright shining imprimatur. Am I clear? Pardon the speeches, but thanks for writing big. The bigger the better. There was a good young priest who has come to a modern suburban parish. He is very reverent. At a mass recently, he said the correct, complete words of consecration. He has introduced the bells at the consecration. And when he elevates the host after the words of consecration, he said, my Lord and my God, I know it is to help and remind the people what is really happening. Your comment. Oh, no doubt, he is a good young priest. However, I don't think I would recommend saying out loud, my Lord and my God. By the way, I have been saying it now, well, for 50 years. I say it, I think I'm saying it silently. Somebody overhears me is because my hearing is not so good. And encourage that priest. Now, it's up to you. Don't discourage him from saying, my Lord and my God. You might, especially one of you ladies, very gently and quietly, smiling when you say it. Father, I heard it might not be a bad idea if you said the words, my Lord and my God, just to yourself. They are beautiful words, Father, beautiful words. While some people may misunderstand you. This is Ypsilanti, St. Mary Student Parish. Here's a statement by one of the contributors. During the 22 years since my confirmation, I've learned to accept that the Church is constantly growing and changing as it adapts to new times and new situations, and that, like me, it is on a pilgrimage. On its way, the Church has made mistakes and is still making them. Out of my tremendous love for the Church and my innate respect for myself, I believe I need to draw the Church's attention to the mistakes. Thus, it was with great joy some years back that I discovered an organization that is compared or comprised of people who also love the Church. As a sign of that, see the need to call it to account. That organization is called Call to Action. Gee, thanks. This is a valuable contribution. I may use it in our next Call to Holiness meeting here in Detroit. Could this be a sin against the Holy Spirit or a sign of pride? Could be, but more likely, it's a sign of educated stupidity. That's the most dangerous stupidity. Thank you. What is, again, centering prayer? Why is it wrong? I could speak for hours about centering prayer. The bottom line to centering prayer is that by now volumes have been written about centering prayer. As I mentioned regarding the meditation series that I started, and that very reluctantly and painfully had to withdraw as theological director of that series, when the sisters of Notre Dame were convinced they should include centering prayer in that religion series. The bottom line is that centering prayer has centuries of history behind it. But with the so-called New Age movement, and as you know, there are some highly gifted people who have been, shall I say, seduced by the New Age movement, including the poor Dominican, remember the name, Father Fox. Mighty extensively preaching all over the country. The New Age movement, among many other aspects, believes in and promotes centering prayer. But the New Age movement had its roots is not Christianity. It is, to identify one religion, it is Hinduism. And as a consequence, only God knows how many people, I hope most of them don't really know what they're doing. But by now, with a sheer, massive library of literature on the New Age movement, as you read about centering prayer, same words, centering prayer. But what a difference. You can read, some are just confused. They would use the word centering prayer or the expression, not realize what they're talking about. Well, why don't you go beyond just the words into the ideas behind the words? You are walking into a very learned and powerful non-Christian society. Over the years now, my main publisher has been Doubleday. I received some time ago a listing, well, in fact, it was a book, at least 100 pages in size. And the whole book was not published by Doubleday, but it included Doubleday. Every page had at least one. Some pages had more than one. Had for books on the New Age published in the United States. I counted, I think, 108, hear it, 180 publishers, not books, publishers, publishing books on the New Age movement, among which, in the New Age movement, among which, well, ideas they disseminate is centering prayer. And that is why, either we Catholics understand our faith, are able to recognize error when we see it, or we'll just become further, what shall I call it? Victims of a widespread dissemination of error, and sadly, in so many, even professedly Catholic books. All you have to do, that's all you have to do, is read the National Catholic Reporter, you know that, newspaper. Every week. Well, I think 6 weeks will be enough. And you will cease to be a Catholic. And the National Catholic Reporter is widely circulating in many, if not most, Catholic priest rectories in America. The depth of error is profound. No amateur Catholic can cope with these errors. You better know what the truth is. You can recognize error when you see it or hear it. Again, do you know anything about the Promise Keepers who marched in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago? I read about them, but what you read in the newspapers isn't much help. For reasons already explained. I'd appreciate any in-depth information you can find about the Promise Keepers, and if possible, before the 26th of October. The Master Catholic Reporter newspaper is on bookshelves of a parish I visit for adoration. Is it morally all right to destroy them without paying for them? With all Father Harkness has to say on the program, I will use a standard answer. Follow your conscience. With the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.